This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Don't you hate it when you get a family get together, like a little reunion, and one of your cousins just gets possessed? I mean, that happens all the time, doesn't it? You know, there he is. It's the one who always gets it. And I'm not talking like getting drunk, or I'm like talking literally getting possessed. I make light of it because our next story, that's exactly what happens. A family gets together to spend one final night at a family home. Lots of memories there. I think, oh, this will be great. This will be fun until somebody goes and gets possessed. It gets pretty dark. Take a listen. One of the most unexplainable troubled moments I faced with the unknown took place when I went with my mom to India to sell off our land to the highway authorities as they acquired the land for expanding the coastal roads and reducing the traffic congestion in the area. We flew down from New Hampshire for a month and decided to stay at our farmland for one night before the land acquisition. To give a small briefing of the land, we had a two-bedroom villa in the middle of the farm, which was surrounded by teakwood trees. The back doorway led to the beach sand and the seashore within 10 meters from the last tree inside the wall. Such a beautiful place to stay, but it can get depressing and scary if there are no people around. My mom, I, my uncle and his family of five, four children, uncle and aunt, let's name my four cousins A, B, C, and D, along with my friend, went to the farmland. We had a housekeeper who stayed there with his family. He had kept the house clean, expecting our arrival, and sent his family to his hometown so that we can be accompanied in the house. We reached the farmland by around 11 a.m. and had a heavy lunch. There were no shops nearby, and the closest grocery store was 20 kilometers away. So my cousins and I and my friend decided to stock up on our snacks after our lunch, as we were all overly excited to go play in the sea. We played in the sand and ocean for 7 hours straight. We were literally dead tired when we decided to return home. All of us had dinner and departed to sleep. My friend and I decided to sleep on the terrace along with my uncle. It was a beautiful night. All we could hear was the silent noise of the waves and nothing else. The moonlight hovering over our faces like a dream moment when I suddenly heard someone walk. Like the noise you get when someone walks on top of dry leaves. I turned to both sides and saw my uncle and friend sleeping. I wanted to get up and check, but the lazy bum I am, along with the tiredness of playing in the ocean, made it me just want to close my eyes and lie down. The noise got a bit heavier, like someone is running in the woods. I got up and woke up my friend and asked him if he can hear the noise. He acknowledged that he could hear it too, and we turned back to wake up my uncle and realized he was gone. It was quite shocking because he was right next to me the first time I heard the noise. Though it was around 11 p.m., the moonlight was bright enough to lighten the entire forest area around our farmland. We started looking towards the direction from where we heard the noise. We saw my uncle from the terrace and could see him running in the farmland. He was looking back constantly when he was running, and he seemed to be running away from something. We decided to go look at what it was that's troubling my uncle and takes an emergency light hand torch and started running. The moment we came out of the apartment, there was an eerie silence. We could not hear the ocean anymore or the sound of the leaves brushing against each other. Though we were in our late teens, the silence started to trouble us. We decided to hold each one of our hands and run towards my uncle. We can see my uncle run exactly in front of us. He was waving his hand at us and looked as if he was scared. We were glad we found him, and we stopped him. He had bruises on his shoulder as someone scraped him with their nails. He had a huge slap mark on his back as if someone slapped him with their plain hands. He said he's being chased by someone and asked me to alert everyone. It was completely shocking, and I immediately shouted at the top of my voice to raise the alarm. I woke up everyone who was sleeping in the apartment and showed up at the front door, fearing that something might have happened to me except for my cousin A. As always, my mom was the first one to sense that something is not right there. My mom started chanting something and walked towards the front gate. We, like disciples, started following her. And suddenly, out of nowhere, we heard someone growl behind us. we all turned back to something outrageous. A was there, and I can bet he was not all right. He was walking on 4 feet, both hands and legs, and approaching us. My mom started chanting loudly, and the growl became even angrier and louder. That's when my mom said, "He's possessed!" and asked us to lock the main gate as he might run away. And it'll become hard for us to track him or control him. I would have almost peed my pants because I've always rubbished the thought of coming face to face with someone who's possessed. My mom asked my friend and me to go grab his foot and his upper body. Bad choice. Awfully bad choice. He kicked me so hard that I almost broke my thigh bone and punched me on my stomach that my intestines would have entangled inside. This time there was no hiding my fear. I peed in my pants. Maybe because of the hard blow I received in my thigh and stomach at the same time, or maybe because of fear. Nevertheless, I peed, and for once, I did not really bother what others are going to think of me. My friend caught him from behind, and I tried somehow to get a hold of his legs. We pinned him down, and finally everyone pitched in to stop him from moving. We tied his hands and took him inside the building. And now my mom is no expert chasing spirits, but she can sense things if I know her. I've seen her helping people before and advise what to do, but for the first time, I felt she was helpless. My mom was not sure what to do next. I've never seen my mom this worried. And seemed to be targeting my mom and intimidating her so much that she locked him in a room and went out. My mom said this is beyond her control and we need a person who's experienced in chasing spirits away. At this time of the night, so far away from the city, we knew that finding help was not possible. And then the housekeeper said there's someone in his village who might help us. But the problem was his village is a 10-hour drive from where we lived. And to go there and come back, we would lose a lot of time. Given that we did not have any other option, we decided to get some help. I went with my uncle and the housekeeper to his village, spoke to a sage, and requested him to come, and he refused initially. We offered him a lot of money, around $1,000 US, but he refused to budge. After a lot of pleading, my uncle fell on his foot and requested him to come. He finally accepted, but refused to take any money for his service. He said it's against his customs to do this for money, but we can donate the money to the local temple as a token of appreciation if he manages to chase the spirit away. We reached our farmland a couple of days later, and Mom said A is still locked inside the room. She said he's been relentlessly growling and has not eaten anything in the last 1.5 days. The moment the sage entered the room, A started acting ferociously. He tried to untie himself, but since he was not able to do it, he was biting the end of the wooden bed to hurt himself. He was bleeding profusely, and I think he lost a couple of teeth in the process. The sage went to the corner of the room and drew a line around him and sat there. He asked A what he wanted. He would not answer. He asked A if he would cause any trouble, and no answer again. He stood up suddenly, took a broom, and started hitting A. I kept laughing the whole time. These were really shocking moments for us, and suddenly A started to be very abusive. Now, I'm not that well-versed in Tamil, but the words he spoke sounded very ancient and very hurtful. I still do not remember the exact words spoken, but I remember my mom asking us to close our ears or walk out of the room. The sage requested some candles and lit them up around A, and then started chanting something. A started to growl and now pleaded to leave him. A disclosed that it is the spirit of a person who died on the beach a few years ago. He said he wanted to live a compassionate life and would like to stay in A's body and not cause any harm. The sage kept chanting something and not listening to A. A was growing frustrated and suddenly he said, "He's here to kill someone." It was completely different from what we heard a few seconds back. The sage asked the entity to leave the body of A and run away. After some growling, A fainted and the sage immediately carried A in his arms and bathed him. He applied some holy powders on his forehead and requested us to take him outside the apartment so that he could clean the place. After a cleansing, we took A to a nearby temple and tied some holy water threads around his wrist. The sage then told us that he was possessed by a devil, and it was trying to take over his body completely. He said the entity was so powerful that he could sense the negativity the moment he met us in the village. He refused to come initially because his daughter was recently married and he did not want anything bad to happen to her because of him helping us. Luckily, nothing bad happened. He asked us to vacate the apartment and Mom was glad that nothing much happened. We sold the place to highway authorities and the land is not available now. It's become a wonderful long road to drive Not sure what happened to the entity now, but nevertheless, this incident completely changed my outlook towards the surroundings. It's an incident that I will always remember and may never be able to fully explain.
Stories online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.
Here's what happened when one journalist reported on DEI programs.
I decided to just focus on the University of Michigan. I obtained internal documents that showed that the school had spent about $250 million on DEI programs. I spent 2 weeks in Ann Arbor talking to everybody I could find. The unintended consequences of these programs, they had sort of left everybody dissatisfied. And this expensive machinery the school had built just imploded. If you're a journalist, you are not on anyone's team. All you're trying to do is figure out as many of the facts as you can gather. The facts are going to guide you to where the story lands. You're not taking sides. I'm Nick Confessori. I'm an investigations reporter for the New York Times.
Journalists like Nick follow the facts wherever they lead. They go where news breaks, get answers firsthand, and publish what they find. That's fact-based reporting. Seek it out if you don't already.